ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Awabakal, Darug, and Eora people. Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York is proving a little bit tricky for journalists to cover. The building is being renovated, so there's scaffolding outside, limiting camera angles of people coming in and out.
Heads up!
No video, audio, or phones are allowed to be taken into the cold, ugly, and slightly stinky courtroom.
So we have another day of court in a freezing courthouse. It's very cold in there. For what purpose, I believe.
When cameras do manage to find an angle of Donald Trump, he always seems very grumpy.
But I'm in a courthouse for a rig trial. It's a rig trial. Terrible.
But there is one other key figure in the trial, and he never seems grumpy at all. While Trump stomps in and out of the courtroom, this man kind of seems to float. He smiles for the cameras and makes little jokes when reporters ask him what it's like being in the same room with Trump.
I'm looking forward to the reunion.
He talks about the case at length on his very weird TikTok live streams where he makes little love heart gestures for money. His name is Michael Cohen. He is the star witness in both of the ongoing Trump cases in the state of New York. He was once Trump's personal attorney and said that he would take a bullet for his boss. And he's taken a lot of metaphorical bullets. He's served years in prison for lying, tax fraud, bank fraud, and campaign finance violations. But he thinks that everything he's gone through will be worth it if he can take Trump down.
Trump 2024? More like Trump 20 to 24 years.
Today, the story of why this man destroyed his life to try and put a president in jail. I'm Matt Bevan, and this is If You're Listening. Michael Cohen worked for Donald Trump for a long time. Right back in 2011, this is how he described his job to CNN.
I protect Mr. Trump. That's what it is. If there's an issue that relates to Mr. Trump that is of concern to him, it's of course concern to me.
So how did he end up being the guy most hell-bent on getting Trump thrown in jail? It all started in the final months of the 2016 US presidential campaign. Cohen was flat out trying to do his job, protect Mr. Trump, squash a negative news story about the boss. The story in question was that Donald Trump had an affair with former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal back in 2006 while he was married to Melania. It's not something you want out there while you're running for president. So Cohen organised for a friendly gossip magazine to buy the story.
The so-called catch and kill scheme, in which negative stories were purchased and buried.
McDougal gets paid, Trump's reputation stays clean, and the magazine gets its preferred president into power. Everybody wins. Trump was supposed to reimburse the publisher of the magazine, David Pecker, the $150,000, but Trump had left him hanging. Trump famously avoids paying people if he can avoid it, particularly if it's for something embarrassing. David Pecker had been hassling Michael Cohen for weeks, and Cohen was worried that if the money wasn't repaid, someone would start asking questions. Cohen wanted to get this guy off his back, and so he decided to record his conversation about the money with Trump and play it back to the publisher to prove that he was at least trying to get Trump to pay.
It's so false what they're saying. It's such bullshit.
Now, are we sure that's Trump?
They don't have a...
Give me a cup, please.
They don't have a...
Yeah, that's Trump.
I need to open up a company for the transfer of all of that info regarding our friend David.
David meaning David Pecker. Cohen and Trump agree that in exchange for payment, David should hand over any evidence that he has of anything related to Trump. They trust David, but as they say...
Because, you know, you never know where that company, you never know where he's going to be. Correct.
Maybe he gets hit by a truck, and then who knows what's going to happen. Cohen then says that he's planning to set up a shell company to deal with the payment.
About it when it comes time for the financing, which will be...
Listen, what financing?
We'll have to pay you. So
no, no,
that's when the recording cuts off.
No.
In fact, they never paid David a cent. This wasn't the only time that Michael Cohen was called in to clean up one of Trump's messes that year. The other one came just days before the election.
But this time, Pecker wasn't willing to use the National Enquirer's money
to pay her.
See, one of the great ironies of the 2016 election is that despite watching with glee as Hillary Clinton's campaign imploded over leaked emails, people in Donald Trump's orbit continued to send pretty problematic emails and assumed that nobody would ever read them. Just 6 months after Donald Trump was inaugurated as president, the FBI got a warrant which allowed them to sift through Michael Cohen's Gmail account.
Yes, all this comes as Robert Mueller continues his investigation into possible links between the Trump campaign and Russia.
They were in Cohen's inbox looking for Russia stuff, but what they found was different. They found evidence that Cohen had been committing bank fraud and tax fraud, not in relation to Donald Trump's finances, but in relation to his own. They also found an email with a very interesting attachment, a non-disclosure agreement between two people named David Dennison and Peggy Peterson. Now, those sound a lot like made-up names. In the agreement, Mr. Dennison was agreeing to pay Ms. Peterson $130,000 so that she would not tell anyone about something. That was weird. But it was even weirder when they discovered a separate attachment which explained that Mr. Dennison was actually Donald Trump and Ms. Peterson was actually Stephanie Clifford, who goes by the name Stormy Daniels, professionally. Michael Cohen had paid the $130,000 himself, and then he'd been reimbursed by Trump in a series of 12 installments referred to as retainer payments. Now, I kind of like to imagine what happened then. 73-year-old soft-spoken war veteran and former FBI director Bob Mueller having a little debate with his investigators as to who was going to go and find out who Stormy Daniels is.
I'm going to pass on that.
Once again, Michael Cohen had arranged a hush money agreement between Donald Trump and a professional porn star. That is elite-level gossip, but it's generally not illegal. But the timing was interesting. The hush money had been organised frantically in just a few days, less than 2 weeks before the presidential election. And using undeclared hush money to help you get elected is not illegal. 6 months after the search warrant was issued, news stories started to be published about Stormy Daniels, Donald Trump, and the hush money.
In return for the cash, Stormy agreed to keep quiet about an alleged affair in 2006, which the president has always denied.
Michael Cohen was annoyed, but not worried. He was the president's personal lawyer. Donald Trump had his back. Nothing was going to happen to him. That was what he thought, right up to the day the FBI knocked on his door at 7 o'clock one morning.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, have raided the offices of US President Donald Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen.
The FBI went through his stuff for 5 hours, while he and his wife, Laura, sat on their bed watching TV and offering the agents coffee.
Cohen, of course, has been at the centre of a controversy surrounding the payment of a porn star who has alleged that she had sex with Trump.
They left with Cohen's phone. He rushed out, bought a burner, and called the White House. The President of the United States told him, "Stay strong, I have your back, you're going to be fine." They hung up. That was the last time that he and Trump ever spoke.
Insiders say that's because he's even more concerned and angered by the raids on his lawyer's office than he is about the Russia probe.
Michael Cohen spent the next 4 months in what he would later call a waking nightmare. He wanted to trust Trump, to do everything he could to protect his boss and trust that if convicted, the president would pardon him.
One thing is for sure, he was very loyal to Mr. Trump. He made the payment. That's been established. Was it illegal? What's the crime? I haven't figured out what the crime is yet.
But he was under a tremendous amount of pressure. While Stormy Daniels was on 60 Minutes giving salacious details about her alleged affair with Trump,
I was like, turn around, drop him.
You told Donald Trump to turn around and take off his pants?
Yes.
Michael Cohen was being chased around Manhattan by reporters. One even tried to follow him into a taxi and got their microphone slammed in the sliding door.
How do you feel about you may have changed an election?
Cohen's written 2 books about this period of his life, and it's clear that he was going through a very tough period. The FBI had returned all of his documents after they made copies, and Cohen spent his time reading through them, trying to find ones which would incriminate or exonerate him. He also watched the constant news coverage of his case as pundits spent hours speculating about what was going to happen to him. He was increasingly suspicious about things Trump was saying in the media. For example, directing people to ask Cohen about the Stormy Daniels payments.
So you have to ask Michael. Michael's my attorney, and you'll have to ask Michael.
You'll have to ask Michael, he says. Cohen thought that this suggested that the raid had been ordered by Trump to throw him under the bus, to make him a scapegoat for the Stormy Daniels payment. Then, Trump stopped paying for Cohen's defense lawyers. He suddenly was faced with a bill of more than $1 million in legal fees.
I always liked Michael Cohen. I haven't spoken to Michael in a long time.
Is he still your lawyer?
No, he's not my lawyer, but anymore.
Cohen decided that if the bus was coming for him, he wanted to make sure that it hit Trump too. He started making offers to the investigators to help bring Trump down. But the prosecutors told him it was all or nothing. Admit to everything, the tax fraud, the bank fraud, everything, and then they will accept his help. Cohen started trying to force their hand. He leaked the recording of him and Trump talking about the secret payments to the press.
Give me a Coke, please.
They don't have a
Finally, the prosecutors threatened to indict Cohen's wife for tax fraud if he didn't plead guilty, and he cracked. 5 months after the raid, Cohen said he was willing to plead guilty to all crimes. Prosecutors prepared a 40-page document for Cohen to sign, which included all the details of the alleged conspiracy between Cohen, Trump, and David Pecker. It said that Cohen worked in concert with and coordinated with Trump to buy the silence of Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels, intending to help Trump's presidential campaign. But something was going on behind the scenes, forces at work that Michael Cohen was not aware of. There were plans in place to protect the president. It turns out Trump appointed officials at the top of the Department of Justice were allegedly ordering prosecutors to cut out as many references to Trump as possible. The following day, Cohen was presented with a 21-page document. 19 pages had been cut out. It was Cohen's worst nightmare. Trump was going to get away with it, and he was going to go to jail for 3 years.
And I am going to jail in part because of my decision to help Mr. Trump hide that payment from the American people.
Cohen went berserk. The gloves were off. He and his lawyers told anyone who would answer their phone that he was ready to tell the world everything he knew about Donald Trump.
He is a racist. He is a con man. And he is a cheat.
Cohen brought all the receipts. He handed over everything he had on Trump. He did every interview he could. He wrote not one but two books from prison. We now know that what he was doing was actually crucial to getting a case against Trump going. Prosecutor Jeffrey Berman revealed on MSNBC that his office had in fact stopped investigating the president for fraud and campaign finance violations.
The investigation was stopped, but the office persevered and it was opened again.
Cohen's constant waves of allegations and evidence against Trump were too powerful to ignore. Berman was eventually fired by Trump for keeping the investigation going. By the end of Trump's term in office, he had issued presidential pardons to all of his imprisoned cronies, except Michael Cohen. With nothing left to lose, Cohen's life had become about one thing: taking Trump down. Earlier this year, Trump was fined $500 million for bank fraud and tax fraud in a case which relied heavily on evidence given by Cohen. And now there's the criminal trial in relation to the Stormy Daniels payment. Cohen's entire life for the last 6 years has been leading up to his testimony in this trial. He's hardly a perfect witness. He's a liar. He's a criminal. He's a generally odd chap. His books don't really make a whole lot of sense, and he's not at all impartial. The question is, will his story be compelling enough for a jury to find his old boss guilty for a crime that Cohen has already served time for? His moment of truth, maybe, comes soon in that dusty, stinky old New York courtroom. If You're Listening is written by me, Matt Bevan. Supervising producer is Yasmin Parry. Audio production is by Anna John. We spend a lot of time on this show talking about international espionage, satellite imagery, surveillance, that kind of thing. But something we've never looked into is the massive international spy satellite ground station in the very centre of Australia. Thankfully, my colleague Alex Barwick has. She's lived for years in Alice Springs with the unusual and unsettling feeling that something mysterious is going on less than 20 kilometres away at the Joint Defence Facility Pine Gap. Now, she's decided to figure out what exactly they're up to over there in the latest season of the ABC podcast Expanse called Spies in the Outback. You can find it on the ABC Listen app. I'll catch you next week.